Final hour of Bemich and Finley, a 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today alongside Brian Mitchell.
The record, let's begin.
Let's get out to the guest hotline and bring in Jeffrey Chedia from NFL.com, a senior columnist for them. Jeffrey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Can't complain. Doing complain. You recently wrote an article talking about not to overreact to some things. One of the things you mentioned in there is Washington's offense coming down off the plateau a little bit. What do you make of the last couple of games for their offense?
Well, they've played a couple of pretty good teams, and Steelers and Eagles. Eagles are playing better defense. The Steelers have an elite defense. You know, quarterback, you know, you never know how much the rib injury he had a few weeks ago still affects him. They're not running the football as well. But, you know, they still have some easy opponents coming up here. I think these things happen when you have a young quarterback. Teams begin to adjust you a little bit, but I'm still very impressed by what they've done. They seem to have a lot of good vibes around them, and the quarterback is still a blossoming superstar. So it's I know it hadn't been easy, but that's the NFL.
Jeff, like one thing for me, I look at this thing coming into this year. I was thinking, okay, we got a rebuild going on, and then midway through the season, you notice that they're playing a little better, but I still haven't lost sight of they have a rebuild going on. And I don't know what people thought that they were going to have a year where nobody ever struggles when you have 35 new players on the team, you know. So I'm kind of where you are with your article. Like, relax just a little bit.
Yeah, you're way ahead of schedule. Usually these things. Look at the Indianapolis Colts right now, what they're going through with their quarterback situation, or the Jets. You know, you talk about teams that invest in young quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears, you just saw them a little bit ago, and it doesn't go that well, and you're not winning games, and it gets frustrating. I think people forget that they still need a few more weapons on the outside for Jaden Daniels. Like you said, they've got a lot of veterans they brought in here. They're trying to get acclimated to the system. They still have a lot of money to spend. Like, whatever problems they have right now are fixable. Like, we had the Jacksonville Jaguars, you don't have fixable problems.
Mm-hmm.
The Dallas Cowboys don't have fixable problems. So, I mean, you're in pretty good shape right now in Washington.
Everybody talks about this Cliff Kingsbury second half regression and what's happened in his time at Texas Tech. You go back to Arizona. Is that something that you're worried about with Washington here, or is it something that maybe you need to see a little bit more, or you don't think that's going to happen here?
I think it'll happen a little bit because you bring in a guy like Cliff Kingsbury because he runs the type of offense that young players can succeed in early. And so that's, I think there's two schools of thought when it comes to developing quarterbacks in the NFL. You take a guy and you put him into a system and you try to get him up to speed, or you take a guy and you see what he does well and you try to find a way to build a system around his skill sets. And when you do the latter, which is what I think they did in Washington, it helps the kid play well early because he can get comfortable. But some of those things that they're doing are not super complex things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as time goes by and people catch up to it, they figure it out and they study him more, they begin to take it away. But that's also why the next level stuff is so important. Look, the same thing happened with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. When they brought him in, they changed the offense to a more college-style offense. They did it with Lamar Jackson. They've done it with Josh Allen. And those guys have done great things. But they've also had to adjust over time.
Right.
And I think that will happen with Jaden Daniels.
Do you think the quarterback can be the key to that as well, where he could take on more? Because when I hear Cliff talk, he talks about his offense, but he says now he has other people to bounce things off of, and there are other influences on his offense. It's not necessarily what he used to run. Can that help him a little bit?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Coaches grow, too. I mean, I specifically brought up Andy Reid because if you watch his offense in Philadelphia and you watch what he runs in Washington, it's totally different. And even when he had Alex Smith as his quarterback, he was going and trying to get guys in who ran the pistol and looking at college and high school plays to try to find different things. I mean, you play, Brian, offensive football is way different now than it was 20, 30 years ago. And it used to be you had the college offenses, and you had the pro offense, and it was totally different.
Not the same.
Not the same. And all these concepts are being kind of muddled. So I think, if you're not open to different ideas, you know, Sean Payton is doing the same thing with Bo Nix in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be flexible.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying about that offense in Philly because I had to learn it. I was the emergency quarterback.
That's how different it was back then.
Exactly.
You had three quarterbacks stressing on the day, game day.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And emergency guy. Yeah.
There you go.
Talking with Jeffrey Chedia, senior NFL columnist for NFL.com. The Commanders right now sit at 7-4. You've got three teams right behind them, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, all at 5-5, also all in the same division vying for that final wild card spot in the NFC. What do you think that the Commanders need to get to? Is it just to simply get to 10 wins and they'll find themselves in the playoffs, or do you think they need to get to 11 wins?
Oh, I think 10 wins gets you in safely. I think there's going to be a 9-8 team. I don't think there'll be multiple 9-8 teams. And the thing about the NFC West is that those teams are going to cannibalize each other. And it's tough to be where the 49ers are right now because you're in the same boat as the Seahawks and the Rams. I think the Cardinals are going to win that division for one thing, but mm-hmm. I think there's not enough room for a team that's going to be just above average to get in. But I have a lot of faith looking at the Commanders' schedule. Like I said, I think at least two or three more winnable games. They're still going to see Dallas at some point down the road here. And so, yeah, I think they'll get to 10 wins easily. I think the Commanders, the Vikings, and the Packers have the inside track on the wild cards. And if somebody can come out of the NFC West, that would be a surprise for me.
You said 10-7 could make it. 10-7 would be great because if they go 11, I got to wear a damn tutu, so I don't know about that.
Okay, you got some side bets going on that we don't need to find out about, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, when they were saying six games, you know, you put some strain, you take any best of my thought. Yeah, I'll do that. And then you go, oh, Lord,
okay.
They're close.
Yeah. So this is a win-lose situation for you, right? It's like if they
and
it's crazy. You lose and they get to 11. Okay.
Well, and how real of a chance? Let's just assume that they're able to get to that 10, 11 win mark, hopefully 11 for B. Mitch's sake. But let's assume that they can get into the playoffs. How real of a threat do you think they can be? You know, I think they can beat some of these other teams, but you're looking at a Philly. I think they can be competitive with them, assuming they play better than they did on Thursday. But are they like a real team that can beat the Lions? How real would you view them as a contender if they get into the NFC playoffs?
Oh, I think anybody but the Lions they can compete with, because you're talking about a lot of teams that have up and down quarterback play, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Eagles, you know, Jalen Hurts can have some tough days there, turn the ball over. You know, Sam Darnold has done that in Minnesota. Jordan Love has had, I think, more interceptions than anybody right now, I think, in Green Bay. And really, like, the NFC West, I mean, quietly, Kyler Murray's been playing some of the best football in the NFC that no one's talking about. He only has three interceptions, and he's been managing the game well. But there's nobody. I think if Jayden Daniels is on his game, and really the running the football is the key thing for me.
Yes.
I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
the difference in their offense that I see, is that they're not running the football as effectively as they were earlier in the year. And so they get back to doing that. It's going to take some pressure off him. It's going to open up some things and make things easier for the defense. So that's the bigger thing, getting back to that level of play on with the run game.
When you look at our offenses, that when they run it, they predominantly have one running back. And when they pass it, they have another. Wouldn't it help if you throw the ball and run it with the same guy, because then they can't read it then?
Yeah, you're getting real old school with it, man. It's like, yeah,
I mean, I noticed,
yeah,
it like,
make a lot more sense.
Yeah, because I think Brian Robinson can run, but the dude has shown he has good hands too.
He does.
I would throw him some pass. I would fake it, let him run through the line, hook up, hit it, because when he turns around, not many DBs want to hit him one-on-one.
Yeah, and I agree with that totally. And that's a big reason why I've been so impressed with what Philadelphia has done with Saquon Barkley, with the dimension he's brought to that offense. You look at what Josh Jacobs has meant to the Green Bay Packers offense. So there are some teams, like even Bijan Robinson with Atlanta, there are teams that are doing that. And I agree with you. I'd rather have a two-way threat and make it more difficult on the defense to not get a beat on what you're doing. So, but again, these are first world problems you're dealing with in Washington now, as opposed to, hey, well, we're picking that in the top 10 next year.
Exactly right. Yeah, talking with Jeffrey Chedia, senior columnist for NFL.com. Let's take a look around the NFL. We'll start with the news today. What do you make of the Jets firing their general manager, Joe Douglas?
I'm surprised it took that long for it to happen. You know, I think once they got rid of Robert Saleh, you had to figure everybody was on notice. And when you try to go for a home run in Aaron Rodgers and you're sitting there under 500 and, you know, the coach didn't work out, it's only a matter of time before the GM goes. And look, you know, there's a lot to be said for good ownership and what that means. Mm-hmm. And you guys are seeing that in Washington right now as well. Like, you know, Woody Johnson it's gone through a lot of coaches, a lot of GMs, a lot of quarterbacks, and at some point you got to figure out how to get the right team in there and how to make it work. That is going to have to – it's not going to be a rebuild because they've got a lot of young talent there still, but I imagine they're not trying to have anybody around who wants to bring Aaron Rodgers back next season. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, is Woody going anywhere? Because he seemed to be the one to give Aaron all the all the authority.
Yeah, he's going back to England. I think he's going to go back and be the ambassador. That's where he was when they brought in Aaron Rodgers. He was out of the country.
See, I can't
but
see.
They hired Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I can't see Joe Douglas doing anything without the approval of Woody. And then Aaron Rodgers Aaron is acting like he is the damn GM.
Yeah, and we saw how that worked out before in Green Bay. Like, they'd be crazy. And, I don't know where Woody Johnson's head is at on this stuff, but I think they should have seen enough by now to know what they've been trying to do with Aaron Rodgers is not going to work out. And if you start going too far down this rabbit hole of trying to, pull a rabbit out of a hat with an aging quarterback who's not playing well and needs all these things that make it work, then you're compromising your future. They've got a great chance now. I don't know, how great this quarterback class is compared to what just came out. But, I guarantee you they would kill to have Sam Darnold on that team right now.
Yeah.
Or Geno Smith.
Crazy to think. Crazy to think. Caleb Williams, I thought, looked really good on Sunday. Obviously, they didn't come out with the victory. But is this going to be the same case the Bears always seem to do where they draft the quarterback and they end up firing the head coach and after his rookie season, he's got a new guy? I mean, they already fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. What's going to go down there in Chicago, and how can they fix it so that Caleb Williams doesn't turn out like the other guys?
Well, you just talked about Joe Douglas. If I'm Ryan Poles, their general manager, I'm paying close attention to that and thinking, okay, who is the best offensive mind I can get to come in here and work with this kid and build him up and make him whole? And this is a perfect example. The Commanders were very smart. Even though they hired a defensive-minded coach, they went and got Kingsbury, an offensive mind, to work with Jaden Daniels and create an offense that he could succeed in. The Bears acted like Caleb Williams created football and just said, here's the playbook.
Yeah.
Go out there and play. It's going to be great. We've got all these weapons for you. And they found out how hard that is and how much pressure there is to make that happen. And so, no, I think they've got one chance to make sure they don't screw this up. So they've got to hire, again, the best offensive. If I'm the Bears ownership, I am calling Ben Johnson every day, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, and telling him, whatever it costs, you're going to be our head coach next year, and we're going to figure out the quarterback situation.
Having Brian Johnson on this roster, just in case something were to happen with Kingsbury, you think that was done intentionally?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I think, and this is something Jalen Hurts told me, and he worked with Jalen in Philadelphia, that Brian Johnson was a big factor in Jalen Hurts' growth. And Jalen Hurts has a skill set that's very similar to Jaden Daniels. Having coaches who understand that skill set, I think, is super vital to any young quarterback succeeding. And I think with Caleb, what we're realizing is he wasn't as athletic as we thought. Like, it's not translating the same way that it has for Jaden Daniels, and that the things that were bad habits for him need to be coached out of him.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. I think you have to, Josh Allen to me and Lamar Jackson are two of the prime examples of how, if I'm a young head coach or GM, like, how did those teams take those players who were raw when they came in and turn them into superstar talents? They got people around who knew how to coach them, who appreciated their skill sets, and made them comfortable. I think that's what Caleb Williams needs to have.
Talking with Jeffrey Chedia from NFL.com, a senior columnist for them. The Bengals lost once again, and Joe Burrow has been spectacular this season, putting up really, really good numbers, but the record isn't good. What do they do going forward? Do they stick with Zach Taylor? Obviously, they're going to have some decisions to make at the wide receiver position with T. Higgins. What are they going to do going forward?
Yeah, it's a baffling situation with them because, they were, for the most part, known as a team that was pretty clutch for the last few years. Going into Kansas City and winning the AFC Championship, and they start 0-2 and rattle off 12, 14 wins the next season. And so, the way you can make a case that they're literally four plays away from being 8-3, two of those plays involving game-winning field goals that either didn't work out with the snap or just went awry like last week. And so I don't think that Zach Taylor is going to get fired because they don't really fire coaches hastily in Cincinnati. They've had guys who've lost like 14, 15 games stick around for like 5 years. So I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. But I do think they've got to look at how can they transition their defense and how important it is for them to really invest in key players. Their defense went south when they decided that they didn't want to pay Jesse Bates, their free safety. He went to Atlanta. He was a key part of their back end with Von Bell. Now they're in a situation now where Trey Hendrickson wants money. Like, they're squabbling about that. You know, he's leading the league in sacks. I think he's earned a raise. And, you know, T. Higgins, I understand that because you're going to have to pay Jamar Chase a boatload of money. But, again, going back to looking at things with the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, like, they found a way to really transition once the quarterback's getting paid a lot of money to find young players to come in, to plug in, and they're going to have to do that, you know, to help the D.C. out, Lou Anarumo, because there's still talent there. I
mean, yeah.
If the Bengals were winning, Joe Burrow would be the MVP. Like, his numbers are crazy.
Yeah.
But they got to find a way to make that roster work with the financial constraints that they're dealing with now.
Yeah, those constraints have been there for years, though, with them. And talk about ownership, and it's in the league now where
self-imposed.
Oh, yes. Yes, totally.
Last one for you here. We talked about the Lions being kind of the top dog in the NFC. Who would you say is the top dog in the AFC right now?
You know, it's the Chiefs are still the scariest team because they've won two championships in a row. But Buffalo, to me, is the best team in the AFC right now just because of the way they won that game. And you know, when you're talking about Josh Allen going against that team without Dalton Kincaid, without Keon Coleman, and they're putting 30 up on them, and they're out-rushing them. Their time of possession is almost, 10 minutes longer. They're 100 more yards of offense. No turn, one turnover. They win the turnover battle. I think all that stuff tells me that that team has made a big step forward. And in a lot of ways, they're a lot like people talk about the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady comparison. Part of that comparison people don't remember is that Peyton Manning couldn't beat the Patriots for a long time. It took them about 7-8 years to get to a Super Bowl. And so I feel like the way that they won that game, not playing it safe, not trying to kick a field goal and play defense against Mahomes, just here's our best player, here's the football, let's go take it from them. I think that told me a lot about who they are right now and what they could be moving forward.
All right, Jeff.
Jeffrey, always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate you dropping by.
Same here, guys. Take care.
Right, take care, brother.
They heard from Jeffrey Chedea. Make sure you check him out. NFL senior columnist for NFL.com.
Doing the playoffs.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yo, Pat
right.
Said, I'm going to
exactly
see you again.
Right. Exactly right.
And
I mean,
I'm going to beat y'all.
I have a tough time seeing anybody beating Kansas City because they always win. They always find a way when it gets to the nitty-gritty in the playoffs.
Yes.
Take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL MVP race, maybe a little NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year as well. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.